criticize Srila Prabhupada for his manner of translation of his books. There was one rascal who was, his interview was published in a book, interview with different scholars. These scholars, they study the Vedic, they study Vaishnavism, just like some people study frogs. Some people study history, and some people, it's just like as if it's something to study. So one of these people said that, well, I think that Bhaktivedanta Swami, he is too much biased towards the Gauriya point of view. I think his commentary is not so good because of this. And people criticize that, you see, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna writes yoga, and Prabhupada translates devotional service. He didn't say devotional service, he said yoga. Yoga, that means sitting with your feet up above, behind your neck, and breathing, and all this kind of thing. Even in chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita, where Lord Krishna is describing the Ashtanga Yoga system, Prabhupada will translate yogi in different places. He may translate as devotee. Or karma, Prabhupada translates as devotional service in different places in the Gita. In that chapter 6, there is a description of the yogi who is not disturbed even in the most difficult circumstances. He remains fixed in the practice of yoga. So here we see practical example, how a devotee is the topmost yogi. He's not just some kind of dogmatism, we say. The devotee is the topmost yogi. But practically we see here how Arjuna is the topmost yogi, because his mind is fixed on Krishna and in Krishna consciousness, despite his sons having been killed in the most horrible way. Horrible, one way it's horrible they were killed because they were sleeping at the time. Another thing, Kshatriya, he's not afraid of them. He goes into the battle, either to win or to die. There are stories of there are stories from Rajasthan of the Rajputs. They used to go out fighting with this idea. We either win the battle or we're not coming home. So there's a story of one king came back. King means he may be a king of a small area. He came back from the fight. So his queen, his wife, got the news in advance that actually he had left without winning. So she just closed the whole city. And when he said, he came, he said, open. He said, who are you? I don't know. You cannot be my husband, because my husband, he wouldn't come back like this. I think you're an imposter. So he went back and got killed. Because he ran away in an impossible situation, so he got killed. And then she has to kill herself. She also has to jump in the fight when he dies. So she would rather die herself than have this. So Kshatriya is not afraid of death. Arjuna, he would not lament if the son was killed gloriously in the battle that Krishna told also to Arjuna in the Gita. Because Arjuna was giving, some people ask, why does Krishna tell Arjuna that if either you win and you enjoy the kingdom, or you will die on the battlefield and attain the heavenly planets? So why is he telling this? It's just something material. Because Arjuna was giving some material argument that how can we enjoy the kingdom if those who we would like to enjoy it with, they will all be killed. So Krishna not only came from the spiritual point of view, but because he gave some material argument, he defeated that also. That either way, even from the material point of view, you don't lose. So anyway, the Kshatriya son, the sons of Arjuna, they died, but they didn't have the opportunity to die as a Kshatriya likes to die. He likes to die glorious. Either he dies undefeated throughout his life, after being the victor of many battles, Or he dies on the battlefield. That is glorious Roshan. But they didn't even get the chance because they were murdered in their sleep. So Arjun, he was very upset. It was a most difficult circumstance. But because he was the topmost yogi, because his consciousness was fixed on Krishna, therefore, even in the most difficult circumstance, his love for Krishna was not disturbed. He didn't say to Krishna, "Well, you're God, why didn't you stop this happening?" You see, sometimes people say this, that, you see, I love my wife so much and she died. Every day I used to go to the temple and pray. And still my wife died. So, God is so cruel. Prabhupada told that. His one godbrother from Germany, Ernest Schultz, who became initiated as Sadananda, he was a good friend with Prabhupada. He came to India, got initiated. So, by Bhaktisthana Saraswati Thakur. So he told that in the First World War, because in those days they didn't have women's rights and equal rights for women, so they didn't send the women to fight in the wars because they thought they're the fair sex, so they shouldn't. Now we have women's right, everyone equal, so the women should also, they're also sending them out with machine guns. So in the First World War, only the men went, so the women were praying to God that, "Dear God, please send our fathers back, our husbands, our sons, our brothers, please send them back from the battlefield." But mostly they didn't come. So then most of Germany, they all became atheists. So Arjuna, he wasn't like that. There was no question that he was going to question Krishna. Still, see, this has happened, but he still thinks, Govinda is my priya. He is very dear to me. And undoubtedly, such a devotee is dear to Krishna. He has not given up this attitude, that cannot be disturbed. In this material world, friendship can always be disturbed. You'll find two people, they're friends. Very close friends, but that can be disturbed, just like we see. That Drupada and Drona, as children, they were good friends. But then later on, they grew up, Dronacharya was so poor, his wife sent him, "Why don't you go see Jupiter? He's a king. He can give you something. You're a brahmana and you're his friend." But Jupiter simply insulted him. "That friendship is between equals. Who are you? I don't know you." Then he became so angry at him that he wanted there would be a son who would kill Jupiter. So these are all stories from Mahabharata. We see in common life also. We see in India, those who read the newspapers know that two brothers, two of the biggest businessmen in India, Chabria brothers, they're fighting. I didn't see for a long time, but they were fighting over business assets. So many times. No, not only big families, but even in the small home, you see there's joint family. The generations, so many generations, they're living in the same house. Just like we have Griha Pravesh, it's a very common ceremony nowadays because people are always making new houses. But previously, to build a house means that house would stay for generations. So, one generation, the next generation, they'd all live in the house. Live in the same house. But now you'll find what joint families are there. The father, the head of the family dies, or even before he dies, they separate everything down to the last steel glass. They separate everything. And then they close up the house so there's no access from one side to the other. This is our part of the house, that's your part. And they'll even close the passageway so you cannot go from one side to the other. So this is the material life. That you can be so close and then you'll be so much against. But in Krishna consciousness, Achlishava Padiratam Pinashtoam Adarshanam Mamahatam Karotuva Yata Tata Va Vidathati Lampaka, that Prananathastu Saivanapra. This is the prayer of Radharani. That even if you mistreat me, Krishna, I will always consider you the Lord of my life. Adarshanam, if I cannot see you, if I cannot be with you, that is worse than death. But still, you may reject me, but I will not reject you. That we have in Krishna Lila. There is the camp of Radharani. There is also the camp of Chandravali. So Krishna mostly is with Radharani. But sometimes he goes to Chandravali, which is very painful for Radharani. It's very difficult to understand for us. This is Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. This is spiritual relationship on the topmost platform. So that's very painful to Radharani, but she always thinks how Krishna will be happy. So even if Chandravali rejects Krishna, that I don't want to see you, then if Krishna at that time wants to see her, Chandravali, then Radharani will fall down at Chandravali's feet and say, please, don't be angry, you take Krishna. Because she only desires Krishna happiness. Therefore she is called Radha, because she is topmost in the matter of aradhana, of service to Krishna. So all the devotees, they're very dear to Krishna. As Prabhupada sometimes used to say, it's not that Krishna only loves the gopis. He's also Gopal, Govinda. He also loves the cows. Even the blades of grass and the trees in Vrindavan, they're all very dear to Krishna. Krishna sometimes prays even the blades of grass and the trees, because they're all devotees of Krishna. They've taken these forms just to serve Krishna. The trees, Krishna was telling Balaram as they were walking through the forest, the trees appear to be bending down to offer obeisances to you. The birds, they are singing. Actually, they're great sages who have taken the form of birds to glorify you with their sweet songs. The singing of the birds is also, in the material world, the singing of the birds is considered to be an expression of the artistic sense or the musical sense of the Supreme Lord. You see that you cannot make some of these birds, they make such a beautiful sound. They don't even see, of course there's crows also, they make a horrible sound. But some birds, they make very beautiful sounds, very pleasing. So that is an expression of Krishna's artistic sense. Now he's making this. So in Vrindavan, all the creatures, they are simply in love with Krishna, and Krishna loves them. In Vrindavan, everyone is inclined to love Krishna, and everyone is inclined to love him. And not only Vrindavan, you see, Vrindavan is there, there's also Dwaraka, Mathura. And Krishna has also expanded himself in so many deity forms. So if you go to Nathdwara, you will find there the whole town is centered around Srinathji. Or if you go to Karoli, you'll find so many devotees of Madan Mohan and different forms of the Lord. Udipi, there is Sri Krishna at Sri Rangam, Ranganatha Swami. So the Supreme Lord has distributed himself in so many forms in different places, and the devotees who live in proximity, they like to go to the temple, they like to take darshan, they like to discuss the activities of the Lord. So in this way, Krishna expands himself in different deity forms throughout the universe. And wherever there is Krishna, there is Vrindavan. So the same atmosphere is spread there. And the people, they like to be devotees of Krishna. They're very happy to be devotees of Krishna. That was formerly the culture in many places in India, especially Gujarat, one of the places of Krishna Bhakti. Where people, they were naturally inclined. Even now you'll see So many people, their name is Gopal, Navaneet, some name of Krishna, or connected with Krishna. And then naturally, it's very natural for them. They like to love Krishna. It just comes to them very naturally. That is the Vrindavan atmosphere, devotional atmosphere. There was no question of Arjuna not being Krishna conscious. And Krishna conscious, not simply following some rules and regulations, but naturally his heart-to-heart friendship with Krishna. So Krishna, he can do that. He can have so many friends, so many relationships. He comes in the deity form just to establish the relationship with his devotees, the forgotten relationship with his devotees. Just recently some story came with it. There is the on COM we have this deity worship conference. So some story was there how in Chicago just recently one boy had a dream. He was blind, but he had a dream. So he just turned American, just turned up at the temple one evening, and he was blind. He played a harp. You know this big instrument? String instrument, and a very beautiful, soothing sound. Not like electric guitar, it's quite different to that. He came with another man who had some other instrument and said that he'd had a dream and he was told he should go to the temple and play his harp before Krishna. So he played for some time with the man. No one knew who they were. They'd never seen them before. They never heard of the temple before. So they played this beautiful music for Krishna and then again they went away. So Krishna wanted to take some service from them. Krishna is so kind. He'd learned how to play this beautiful instrument. And Krishna thought, let him play for me. I will be pleased and he will be benefited. So he called him, come. So there are so many pastimes. Actually every deity, when deities come, they have so many pastimes. Of course, in different places you'll hear different stories, and the folklore of the place, there are so many different stories passed down. Just like at Karoli, I heard so many stories of how the deity comes into people's lives. We read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Gopinath, how he stole the kheer from Madhavendra Puri. There are so many stories like this. Ramanujacharya, he got treated different way by Jagannath. Jagannath didn't like. Ramanuja thought these people aren't following the rules and regulations properly. So Jagannath kicked him out in the middle of the night, threw him away from Puri. He wanted to change all the rules and regulations. Threw him out down to South India. You go to South India, you do it there. Not here. So there are so many stories. I remember myself, I was just in a woman short time, and when I joined actually in England, in Bhaktivedanta Manor, Radha Gokulananda, the deities there, there was very little Lakshmi in the temple, and the deity offerings were very small. And for breakfast, because we used to get donations of bags of semolina and sugar, and the cows were there, so they used to cook every morning this suji with milk and sugar. Then at midday, every day would be like khichdi and some vegetables, got reject vegetables from the market, usually some cabbage, something like that. That was the prasad. So all the devotees would stand in a long line to get the Mahaprasad, which they get about this much each, about a quarter of a teaspoon. So Krishna wasn't being fed so nicely. Anyway, At one point there were some management changes and they said, okay, let's start feeding Krishna. So started off Mangal, it's still the same standard is going on. Mangalarti, 108 big sweets like this. He started making big offerings. And then so much luxury started coming in. Because the idea was there that let's serve Krishna. And big offerings, and before the devotees, they would stand in line to get just a speck of Mahaprasad. Now everyone would get one or two big sweets, so devotees started to put on little weight, and so did Krishna. Everyone could see how Krishna got fat, and actually all his dresses had to be changed. You can see the photos before and afterwards. He was thin, and he became very fat. And now if we say, people say, oh, it's just a story. But everyone's, and they had to change all the dresses. So there's so many ones. Krishna is reciprocating with his devotees. Prabhupada told that when he installed the deities of Rukmini Dwarkadish. He told that Krishna has come because he wants to talk to you. Why is it not simply some ritual? That now you have how many circles? 3, 5, 7. And those points are there. But actually, Krishna wants to speak. So that we have to become purified. When we are purified, then Krishna will be very happy to speak to us. There are so many stories like this also. Raghunandan Thakur, one devotee of Lord Chaitanya. In his childhood, he was worshipping the deity. What happened? His father, he had to go away on some work. So he told his son, now you have to offer the bhog to Krishna. I'll show you how to do it. This is what you do. You go inside and you ring the bell and you say the mantras and all these things. Put the tulsi leaf in. So, this boy, Raghunandan, in his childhood, he went inside, put the plate down, said the mantras, rang the bell. He was waiting for Krishna to eat. He was waiting and waiting. He said, well, why don't you eat it? Said, my father, well, if you please eat it, otherwise, I don't know what I didn't pronounce it properly or what, but if you don't eat it, my father will be very angry. He told me to offer food, he didn't take it. So he kept on saying, please eat it, so Krishna. Then his mother was there, said, did you offer everything? Yes. So where's the prasad? Well, Krishna ate everything. So then next day his father came back and his mother said, I think, you know, our son's, I don't know what he's doing, I think he's eating the offering. We sent him to offer, but, you know, you didn't train him, you didn't explain to him properly. He's supposed to take it out first and then we take prasad. So then the father chastised him and he said, no, Krishna did. I mean, you told me to offer him food, so I offered it and he ate it. So he seemed so sincere that his father thought, well, maybe it's true, you never know. I mean, after all, he is God. So he said, okay, well, I'm going away again today, so you do the offering again. So Raghunandan had to offer. Then his father didn't go away actually, he just came and stood outside the deity room door and was spying on him, what's going on here. Now the same thing happened. He was telling Krishna, come on, eat, eat, eat. Why are you playing these games? I brought it to you, we cooked it for you, you should eat it. Then his father was very happy. He said, oh, my son is such a devotee. Lord Chaitanya told when he grew up, he used to come to see Lord Chaitanya in Puri. So Lord Chaitanya told him, your duty is, you shall worship the deity. He gave different devotees different duties. So you should worship the deity. That was his service. Throughout his life he was worshipping the deity. So Krishna gave different devotees different duties. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave different duties. And Krishna also. You may say that, well, the gopis are very dear to Krishna. So, should Arjuna, what should he do? Dress up as a gopi? Not pleasing to Krishna. And tell Krishna, when he's on the battlefield, fighting, and say, hey Krishna, this is too much. Let's go and do a rasa dance. But that's not his relationship. That's the deal. Krishna is enjoying rasa dance. He's also enjoying Bhishma Dev shooting arrows at him. He's enjoying that. He doesn't want to stop that. So Bhishma Dev is very dear to Krishna. Arjuna is very dear to Krishna. All the devotees are very dear to Krishna by performing their duty in Krishna consciousness. Whatever their different relationship is. And Krishna tells Arjuna in the Gita, you should do your duty, your own duty. You should follow your Swadharma. So, Swadharma, that, on the material sense, that means to be, act as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, as a, according to Varna and Ashram, or there is Stri Dharma, how women should behave. This is on the material platform. One has to behave according to, one has to perform certain duties. The real Swadharma on the spiritual platform is to serve Krishna. Then even within that, there is Swadharma. Arjuna is serving Krishna by being Arjuna. Krishna likes him as he is. Sometimes we hear this, that you should just be yourself. But you don't know who you are. That's true, you should be yourself. But you don't know who you are. If you think, well, I'm an American, and I'm like this, and being, but you don't know who you are. You're an internal servant of Krishna. So be yourself means we should serve Krishna. And exactly how everyone serves Krishna, that is different in every case. Not the same in every case. There are different devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to appreciate all the devotees. And one devotee was very critical, Damodar Pandit. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated him. Then Jagadananda Pandit was always fighting with Lord Chaitanya, having arguments with him over nothing. Because he was his friend from childhood. He had that relationship. Whereas Gadadhar Pandit, he would never, even he was also a friend from childhood, but he would never quarrel or say anything against Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya appreciated all the different devotees in their different relationships. And he comes as Krishna in his original form. He comes as Lord Chaitanya to invite us back. As Prabhupada states here, every living being, I read the purport again, it's very nice, short purport. The transcendental relation of Arjuna with Krishna is of the dearmost friendship. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord himself has claimed Arjuna as his dearmost friend. Every living being is thus related with the Supreme Lord by some sort of affectionate relation, either as servant, or as friend, or as parent, or as an object of conjugal love. Everyone thus can enjoy the company of the Lord in the spiritual realm, if he at all desires, and sincerely tries for it, by the process of bhakti yoga. So these classes are just to awaken that desire. If we desire it, if we want it, we can live with Krishna in an affectionate relationship. We simply have to desire it and try for it by the process of bhakti yoga. So this is Krishna consciousness. Sambandha avideya payojan. What is our relationship with Krishna? We have to desire that relationship. Then, how to enter into that relationship? What is the process? And then, what happens when you get there? That is prayojan. So all these things are being described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. How to become dear to Krishna. We're already dear to Krishna. Krishna is loving to every living being. But we are not reciprocating with Krishna. So Krishna is simply asking us to reciprocate. That's all. He doesn't ask anything very difficult. For the yogis, you have to do something difficult. Stand on your head, sit on the ice, meditating. So, if you want that, yoga siddhi, or if you want to merge into the impersonal Brahman, you have to do something very difficult. If you want to become a material success, you have to go through so many difficulties. Krishna is making so many obstacles just so you can realize that material life is miserable. When we say material life is miserable, it's not only gross material life, but even the attempt to become one with God, that's also miserable. Even practicing yoga, that's also miserable. The only thing that is not miserable, that is ecstatic, is Krishna consciousness. So that's very easy, nothing difficult. How to reach the topmost platform of spiritual understanding? What do you have to do? You may think, well, I have to go and live in a cave, or bind myself in iron chains, or hang upside down, or so many difficult things we have to do. And Krishna doesn't say that. He says, patram, pushpam, palang tayam, yome bhaktya prayachati, tadaham bhakti paharitam, ashami prantatmanam. You just offer me leaf, flower, fruit and water, just some token. Do it with love. I will accept it. So if Krishna accepts it, then our life is perfect. That's all. Simply we have to offer few words, sincere words, some service, sing, chant Hare Krishna. Krishna wants to accept that. He wants us to offer that to Him. But we cannot offer dirty things to Krishna. That's why everything in deity worship should be very clean. So we cannot also offer a dirty heart. Sometimes on the deity offering plate, some flowers are put. Just for nice decorative effect. It's being more pleasing to Krishna. So you can't put a dirty thing on the offering plate. Unclean thing. Can't put some nasty, dirty thing. So in the same way, we're singing to Krishna. We're bringing things. But we can't do that. That is not properly offered if it's offered with a dirty heart. And Krishna wants to have that reciprocation of affection and love. But that has to be absolutely free from any personal desire. Krishna, we don't want to make, Krishna won't accept any artificial relationship. In this material world, there are so many artificial relationships based on what I can get from you. I smile at you and I'm nice to you, seeing what I can get from you. But Krishna won't accept such a thing. Krishna wants sincere surrender. So all these things, there's nothing difficult. Simply offer a leaf and a flower to Krishna. Krishna will accept. But that has to be done with a clean heart, pure heart, sincere, surrendered attitude. Now this process of bhakti yoga, that is engagement in Krishna's service, for the sake of purification, to come to the goal of pure devotional service, the means and the end are the same. Now we're chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna is pleased. But Krishna will be more pleased and actually pleased and reveal Himself to us when we chant free from all material motivations. So that is the offer here, that Krishna is showing how close he is to Arjuna. And Arjuna, how much he's fixed up in a pact of love with Krishna. So Krishna is inviting us. Come. Krishna is not overworked or harassed. He can expand himself in millions, unlimited forms. It's not that you see some rock star or political figure before the election in America, the presidential candidates, they go around and they shake people's hands and all this kind of thing just to show, I like you. Why don't you vote for me? But they can't have any relationship with them. But Krishna, he can. He's not overworked or harassed. As many devotees come, he will reciprocate with them fully to their full satisfaction, even beyond what they can imagine. Hare Krishna. Is there any question?
At the beginning, when you are chanting the holy name, you actually want some pleasure, satisfaction, because we are learned that we must fail. We do something we want, but I heard that Krishna sometimes cuts this enjoyment. He wants us to do something higher than that. Is it true? Can you explain?
I'll try and reconstruct the question according to what I understood about it. In the beginning of devotional life with chanting, we get some pleasure from chanting, and we want some pleasure. But then Krishna may cut that. Maybe just like Narad Muni, Krishna showed himself to him. But then again he became invisible, just to make Narada think that now you've got a little taste what it's like to see me. Now you have to work more to become purified, to get that taste more. Otherwise, because in the material condition, we have the tendency, we want to enjoy everything for ourselves. So there may be a tendency even to enjoy Krishna consciousness. But Krishna doesn't want to give us some cheap, artificial semblance of Krishna consciousness. He wants us to fully surrender. So we have to work with it. In the beginning, because we're so grateful to have come into contact with Krishna and take shelter from material tribulations, we feel so much bliss. But then after some time, we have to work to get that bliss. Work means we have to work on surrendering and becoming free from material desires. Krishna gives himself to his devotee, but not cheaply. Another question? Prabhupada once was describing that how we should offer to Krishna. He said that devotee brings something to Krishna. He says that, Krishna, I'm very rotten, but anyway, I brought this to you. Please accept it. So a devotee should think himself very fallen, but he asks Krishna that if you see any trace of a trace of a trace of any devotion in me, please accept that as I offer this to you. Please don't see all the bad things. Please purify me of the bad things. So we have to, that's one reason why we have deity worship and all these programs, because there are rules and regulations that now you have to offer this. Now you offer that. Now you offer this. Because if we have to offer to Krishna, then it becomes not just theoretical that we're talking about Krishna, but now we have to do something for Krishna. We have to offer him something. So that doing something for Krishna means we have to strive to do that in the proper consciousness. Otherwise, if it's just simply theoretical, where's the actual service for Krishna? So we have to strive to do that in the proper consciousness. That's why deity worship especially is recommended. If devotees are too much troubled by sexual desires, it's recommended, let them perform deity worship. Because if we're worshipping, one thing is that by seeing the beauty of Krishna, our attraction to the beauty of this material world will go down. Another thing is that we have to cook for Krishna. We have to dress Krishna. We have to offer arati to Krishna. We have to be very conscientious. If a devotee has any devotion, he has to be very conscientious. Otherwise, you may be just walking on the street and you may not be so conscientious to control your mind of thinking so many bad things. If you're standing in front of Krishna offering arati to him, if a devotee is at all a devotee, then he must strive to concentrate his mind on Krishna. Of course, the devotee doesn't think that I'm offering this to Krishna. He brings to his guru and says, you please offer. And his guru will take to his guru. We cannot offer anything directly to Krishna. What did he say? Everything is what? Everything is Shastra. Then why is there a word Shastra? If everything is Shastra, then why is there a word Shastra to distinguish Shastra from any other kind of book? Is the newspaper Shastra? What is he saying? What is it? Then anyone can write anything. Actually, Shiksha Patri, that I haven't studied deeply, but from what I can see, that could be considered Shastra in as much as it follows the conclusion of Shastra. But of course, the way it's interpreted by followers of a certain sect here in Gujarat, that is Ashastra. Not that everything, you see, everyone will make up their own thing and say this is Shastra. And what is the meaning of Shastra? Shastra says, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then someone, you will write something else. Krishna is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's also Shastra. Just because someone says, my guru said, therefore it's Shastra. It's not Shastra. Therefore, we have to see what are the Mool Shastras, Gita, Bhagavatam, that all Acharyas have said. Is Gita, and Bhagavatam, especially Gita, in which Krishna is established as the Supreme Personality of God. Then Bhagavatam elaborates on how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. So Shastra, just like we read the commentaries of the Acharyas, they are as good as or even more important than the original Shastra because they illuminate the meanings of the Shastra. But if someone says something different, that cannot be accepted as Shastra. We don't, if there's a commentary, but there's another book, just like we have Bhakti Rasamrita Sutta, that is presenting different conclusions,
derived from Shastra. But we accept the words of the Acharya as good as Shastra. Because he only follows what is in Shastra. If someone brings up something else which is different from Shastra, how can it be Shastra? Just like they will say, these people in the village, they will say, well, such and such, the sannyasi, is part of that. They want to accept it. But then who else, who is accepting? Not the good people in Gujaratis. No one else in the whole world. Not our child, but there's something wrong with my culture and something wrong.